What kills a rally?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Inflation is a soaking wet blanket on the stock market. The fear of it, signs of it, the near mention of it. After another report on rising consumer prices, the Dow had its worst day in 3 years. The Dow's 30 companies lost $64 billion in market value. The index has shed 500 points this week. And today, markets around the world are following along. Japan's Nikkei index dropped 220 points. The Enron trial is now in the hands of the jury. Jurors begin their first full day of deliberations in a few hours. And while that's going on, oh joy, there's another Enron trial starting today. This one focuses on former CEO Ken Lay. Lisa Roth reports.
Government prosecutors say Kenneth Lay took out $75 million in bank loans. He promised not to use the money to buy stock, but then did it anyway. Lay used Enron's stock as collateral. This was part of the conspiracy case against Lay and former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling, but a judge decided the loan allegations needed a separate trial. Sam Buell is a visiting professor at the University of Texas Law School. He says the most important part of having two trials is
that it presents the potential that Lay would be convicted of a crime, even if this jury that's now deliberating were to acquit him of everything he's charged with in that case. It's a second bite at the apple from the government standpoint.
The judge said he won't issue a decision until the jury in the conspiracy trial announces its ruling. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
The Enron collapse prompted Congress to pass a slew of accounting reforms known as Sarbanes-Oxley. One of the big complaints about the new rules, especially from smaller companies, is the cost of complying. But the Securities and Exchange Commission says it's not letting small business off the hook. Stacey Vanek-Smith reports.
It reportedly costs at least a few a few hundred thousand dollars a year to comply with Sarbanes-Oxley. That may be chump change for big public companies, but for the little guys, it's enough to squeeze the bottom line.
Is just going to be crushing for many public companies.
Securities attorney Lance Kimmel says the SEC is making a mistake. He says regulators should scale anti-fraud requirements depending on the size of the business.
I think small companies that are thinking of going public will think twice. I think the investment banking firms that would take them public will require a much higher threshold of financial wherewithal. And I think it's also going to have a deleterious effect on our capital markets.
That's because smaller companies may decide to sell shares on foreign stock exchanges to avoid the regulations. The SEC says rather than make special exceptions, it will work to improve the law. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
The cattle call on Southwest Airlines may be coming to an end. The company's CEO says he's thinking about dropping the first-come, first-served seating system by 2008. He says a lot of the cattle, passengers, don't like having no seat assignment. Southwest's the only airline that doesn't offer assigned seating. So the Dow fell 214 points, almost 2%, to 11,205. The Nasdaq lost 33 to 2195. The S&P 500 dropped 21 points. Oil prices are falling, too, to around 68. This is Marketplace. Gas prices are about 35% higher than they were a year ago. So this summer, drivers might be sticking a little closer to home for vacation. Alex Cohen reports.
According to numbers released today by AAA, about 37 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more over the Memorial Day weekend. That's less than a 1% increase compared to 2005. AAA's Mike Pina says people will still travel, but with the high cost of gas, they'll need to make some changes in their travel budgets.
We're expecting Americans to stay in less expensive hotels, and they're more likely to eat at fast food restaurants as opposed to the more luxurious places they may have eaten at a couple of years ago.
Airfare is up too, but Pina says Americans are feeling good about overseas travel. AAA has seen a 25% increase in its bookings of summer travel to Europe. I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. By Microsoft Dynamics. Business solutions for CRM, supply chain, and financial management. Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics. And by Mellon Financial Corporation. helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. This sweeping change in immigration law Congress is debating includes both skilled and unskilled labor, but there are certainly differences in attitude toward the two. Even people who oppose letting in more skilled foreign workers acknowledge their contribution to the economy. Unskilled workers, not so much. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell has some thoughts on this.
Well, if you think about it, skilled immigrants, 40% of the PhD scientists and engineers born elsewhere. They clearly add to our GDP growth. When you get to the unskilled worker, it's a mixed bag. Net overall, the impact is positive. But you have to balance that against the fiscal impact, not the federal fiscal impact. The federal government, for example, gets some nice revenues from immigrants who work, play, you know, employment taxes. But the state and local governments, they end up paying for health care and educational expenses. And that's where a lot of the controversy surrounds.
So from an economic perspective, there is a huge difference between illegal and legal.
Well, now, hold on a second here. From an economic perspective, I don't think it really matters whether legal or illegal. Now, it matters from a national security point of view. It matters in terms of the rights and obligations and responsibilities of being a citizen. But from an economic point of view, the question is the job being fulfilled. So what economists believe is the big distinction is between skilled immigrants and unskilled immigrants. But I've really noticed that there seems to be, in a lot of this discussion, an automatic association of illegal and unskilled. There are a lot of legal immigrants whom we consider unskilled workers.
A lot of people worry that the skilled immigrants are, you know, taking jobs away from Americans. But people usually say low-skill immigrants are taking jobs that Americans don't want. Is there some kind of impact, perhaps on wages?
Well, this is what economists are fascinated by, and this is what we should be concerned about. This is one of the things we should be concerned about. There is a study by George Borjas, Lawrence Katz, Harvard University, looked between 1980 and 2000, and they argue that immigration reduced the wages of high school dropouts by a little over 7%. But other economists looking at the same set of data or trying to break it down in somewhat different ways have come up with minimal impact. One of the reasons why there may be no effect on wages is that there are different labor markets at work. So, for example, Tyler Cohen, he's an economist at George Mason University, he points out 54% of tailors are foreign-born, but less than 1% of crane operators. So there may be competition within different labor markets and not so much in overlap.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Chris Farrell is also with our weekend program, Marketplace Money. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Critics say drug court just...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.